big classroom there, and there was a pillar, and
if you got there early enough, you made sure to sit behind the pillar so the Rav couldn't see you. Harry, where are you? Was it your grandfather tells a story that the Rav once called him to read, and he wasn't happy, and he made him read all year? And then he was eternally grateful to the Rav because he really learned to read well. Because when you, is that correct? This definitely, so because when you have the fear of the Rav, you know, going to chew you up and spit you out because you're not reading properly, you prepare to read very well. So I don't have that in me. I don't have that. I am not the Rav in so many ways. I know no such delusions. Nor am I the Rav in that respect either. So anyway, but I would like to just move it along. So fine, go ahead. Okay, so what do you have here? Firstly, what is the Gid Hanasha? The sciatic nerve. That is what we assume it to be. I don't know. I mean, I know the sciatic nerve is a source of a lot of people's back pain. It's obviously a major Moshe. Can you tell us anything about the nerve in people? Okay, there you go. So apparently it's not a teeny one. I wouldn't know what a nerve looks like in a person or in an animal. I just know what it feels like in a person. So you have a Gid is a major nerve that runs from, is it from the spine, Moshe? Through the thigh?
No, it's a collection. The nerves run off the spine, then become joint and become the same.
Okay, so that is a major nerve that runs through the thigh. So therefore you have this yerech, and you have this yorech, and somebody fails to take the Gid Hanasha out. So the Mishnah says, in Yeshua Mimnas in Tam Harezo Asura. Now, there is an assumption here, of course, built into the Mishnah statement. What would that be? If you're not familiar with the issue, you're not even going to realize the assumption that's going into the Mishnah. That Gid has no Sintam. And that's actually going to be a machlokas in the Gemara later on this Mishnah, whether Yesh Gid no Sintam or Ein Gid no Sintam. Our Gidin, I never, Moshe, do you ever deal with human nerves or that you would have seen removed and dissected?
Yeah.
Are they very hard as compared to, let's say, flesh?
When you cook
meat, it gets hard. Okay, I guess I don't know what nerves would be in meat. So,
that's
so anyway.
At the body's exhibit, they have a nerve system on display.
Great. Great. Yes, how are you?
Nobody can go there.
Right, okay. But you know, the hide is not as hard until you've processed it. Right? I mean, hide is harder than basar, but it's still not... not quite as hard until you process. You never know in terms of processing. I mean, yes, but Gidin are used correctly to create sinews, threads for sewing. You know, the parts of the Sefer Torah together. Okay, so you cook the. So the assumption is that the Gid has enough flavor that it could be shakti talk about no same time. There is another issue that's going to be discussed by the Rishonim. It's going to come up. It came up earlier in the parak actually. Shuman shall get. Apparently, there is some fat, not chelev, but shuman around the Gid, which apparently is mutam and Torah, but Yisrael kedoshim heim v'nahu gubahan nesur. So v'nahu gubah nesur. So therefore, there might be a question of where shuman a gid comes in, but right now the mission doesn't say anything. We're talking about gid anasha. So the din is b'nahu sein tam. How do you know whether or not it's b'nahu sein tam? So in effect, as Chaim, your question or Ben's question was, what was done until Rava's time? What Rava all of a sudden woke up and realized you can't? How do you figure it out? So the Mishnah is bothered, in effect, by the same question, though. Ketz and Masharosa, right? Presumably, if you can't taste these things, and this could have been asked, in theory, it should have been askable on any one of the Mishnahs that said Venosei Tam. Why somebody waited until Chulin to ask the question? I don't know. So you look at Basar Belefes. What does Basar Belefes mean? Of not lepas, lefes, right, into turnips. So if you were to cook, add turnips, is that my idea of a wonderful dish, but I guess, and you were to cook to put meat in there, how much meat would you need in order that you could taste, you would say it's fleshic turnips, you can taste the meat in the turnips. So that amount, if the yerech, is that, you know, the yerech is the turnips, the gid is to be viewed as the basar, if that amount the basar, would be no Saint Tom in that amount of lefes, so then that would be, then you assume that there is Tom. Moshe?
Maybe if you just said, this is
strange,
why all the other Mishnahs that we saw,
don't know why. Now continue. Yeah.
Other letters within Mishnah as well?
Are there? Yeah, but you, but it's very hard, unless you're dealing with named authorities, to be certain what you're dealing with.
Because the Mishnah could have said, "Im, Mishnah notah kibasar b'lethet." I suppose the Mishnah would have notah, and the Asura case of Mishnah notah, and it could have just put it all into one sentence. Unless it was a later when they said, "What does notah town mean?" Okay, we have to explain that.
I understand why you want to do that, but you don't have evidence to the fact that it's not one person working. In other words, who's to say that the Mishnah isn't, in other words, who's to say that the entire Mishnah, and this is not the only other solution, isn't later than all the other Mishnayos, and this Tana is concerned and asks the question, you know, immediately following. He borrows that formulation, and he says, Ketz HaMishana. So you really can't, in other words, it's not a crazy suggestion, but it's imaginary. Whereas when you get Tanaim of attributed statements, Tanaim of different generations, when you get statements attributed to Tanaim of different generations, or if you can identify terminology that's unique to a particular generation, which usually you can, sometimes you can with named authorities, then you have an argument that you can make in that regard.
That's
but just
part of the structure, because it could have just
yeah. In other words, that's not a compelling argument. If that's the only simon, so you just don't know. Reasonable possibility, yes. Yes, it's easier to spot. I mean, this does not have black and white markings of a gloss. And there are, occasionally you do have things that are black and white markings of a gloss.
Because it would be relevant if there are other ways to be Mishayar besides for Basar Balefet, if you were to find the Shvint
with another. But even with the Mishnah as it is, I don't think that the Mishnah means to be exclusive. The Mishnah wasn't to say this is the only way you may do it and no other way. I think it just means you want to know how to do it. So
it means they may, have different, slightly different outcomes. That's why.
Okay. Go ahead. Hi.
Get an usher she partially magidin.
So if you have a get an usher that got cooked with other gidin, and they're physically indistinguishable, and I'm not really sure. Again, I haven't seen these things myself, so I guess it's hard to tell. And it's talking about whole, right? Which I kind of wonder how easily can it be confused with other gidin if it's a much thicker nerve. And it can't be when you cut it up, because you cut it up, then the din of the Mishnah clearly does not apply. And even if you're talking about a gid anasha of another animal, so that will be us as well. And even if you're talking about the gid, what's the din of? We should just be aware of this. What's the din of chela behemas asur? What's the din of chela chaya? Chela chaya is mutaris. Dam behemas asura. The din of dam chaya.
Just bury it.
Is asura. No, that's kisei dam when you shecht it. But the stam, if you kill it, there's no mitzvah kisei dam. Okay, what about the giranash of chaya? So that's awesome. Okay, when you go to a bird, chaylev of a bird, if there is such a thing, muteres. Giranash of a bird, muteres. Dam of a bird, asura. Okay, and when you go to a fish, all of them are muter. Okay, so anyway, for our purposes and Mitzias, I don't know how you're going to have a confusion between Gid Bein Agin, because it's hard to. But okay, so here he asks, he can't tell which is the right Gid. So the Mishnah says, Bizman Shemakiro. So, and what do you do, obviously? No, but the Mishnah's going to
take it out.
So rule number one is that it's only called a tarovis if it's mixed together and you can't take it apart, right? If I take, lamashal, if I have one orange of orlan, I have two apples which are mutter, and I take them together and I mix them up, and okay, now am I allowed to eat it? So the answer is obviously not, because it's not a tarovis. In the same sense, if you know amakir the yisr, you are allowed to remove it. There is a ramah, which we will see in Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Tzadiches, that when fat gets mixed into the pot, and it's mavutal, so you're still mechuyav, if you can, to do something to cause the fat to congeal on top, so you can skim whatever is there off. Okay. Why? Because if it's possible to remove the isser from the head there, so then mechuyav to do so. Fine. That's partially the issue that might be related to the question, to the bugs in the water. That's one of the questions. If it's eshel asane. Okay, whatever. Next. What?
Assuming that they're
Asur. Well, that's assumed that they're Asur. This is an assumption. But if you assume that they're Asur, So one issue that you have to deal with is that if it's Efshel Lasanin, you can remove the issue from the heter, then you need to. Okay. I mean, it depend. You know, theoretically, almost anything is removable if you have, you know, expensive enough centrifuges to do it. But that's not our sum. Obviously, there's some factor of what degree of ease and what expense goes into it. But in principle, you know, probably a filter is not the most expensive thing in the world. So if you held that the bugs were really ossuous, then really, you know, you should need a filter. You know, even if you know that they've been broken up, even if they're not buried anymore, you lachora should still need to filter them out, even though it's really mavuto, because if you can remove the isser, then you're supposed to do so. Okay. Anyway.
But
so
if
now
you don't, is it an osur?
What?
If you don't remove it, but
and it's batel though. Is it osur?
Is it just
Probably. I mean, I don't know what that means. In other words, if you ate it, did you violate a particular isser? No, because it's batel. But you're still before you have to try to remove it. So, I mean, that is lachatchila. If it's not batel, it doesn't help.
Right.
You know what?
But if it, we had a discussion before about if something is batel, does it lose its status completely, or is it there? It's just there beheter.
We'll talk about this Rama when we get there. But the assumption is if you can remove on some level. To the extent that you can remove it, maybe it's not batel. In other words, this bittel on the tarovas generally, but if you can, it depends on which case you're talking about. And this, let's just stick to this case for the moment. In this case, if you recognize the gid's not batel. We're not even discussing that. The only shaila is whether the time of the gid is batel. Okay? Avi?
Is this similar logic to something that Asher was talking?
You mean Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there is something of an analogy here, in that the mashal that I gave about expense and effort is something that the Rishonim talk about. In other words, when we say Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin is not batel, but if it's this hefset involved in getting to the heter, then that's not called Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin anymore. Yeah. Okay. So now the Mishnah continues. So once you remove the chaticha. So now the only shaila is, did the chaticha give flavor in the other chaticha or the rotev? And the answer is, it's been osin tam. You mashar ben osin tam. Achein. Okay. So the Mishnah says that the same then applies to chaticha shal mevela, and that was, in effect, the sugyan of Avodah Zarah's question of why not count Chaticha shel nevela, so that there's a reference really to this Mishnah. And the same thing with Chaticha shel dag tamei, so if you recognize it, you remove it, and the rest of it's from the same time. If not, all the Gidin, all the Chatichos are Asuros, but the rotev remains from the same time. So obviously, there's an obvious question which the Gemara is going to ask, which is, why, if you don't recognize the Chaticha, why is it not in Betela among the rest of the things? Okay, and that, at this point, I think you're aware, they mentioned already a few times the Gemara, that's what the Gemara will say here, that the Gid Anasha it's going to say is a Birya, which is a strange kind of answer. In other words, that any part of the animal you could say is a Birya. Perhaps the Gid Anasha is so significant as a nerve that that's considered a Birya. And the Chaticha is what's called Chaticha Haru'i B'Skabid Ba, Haru'i L'Skabid Ba L'Fanei Orchim. It's a fancy cut, and you could serve a guest, you could serve it in a restaurant, and that's in effect what we call davar shebe'minyan. Okay, fine. Yeah.
The gid?
1 and 2, got it.
So the gid is a davar
shebe'minyan?
Because
no, the gid is called a birya, which is like, I mean, birya lo betela is conceptually, I think, similar to davar shebe'minyan. It has a little bit of stronger biblical roots in that for us who paskin that you're not loka on isura achil unless you eat a kazayis, but if you eat a beria shlema, you get malchus. Because it has a daraisa root. The notion that beria lobetel is only the rabbanon. But whereas chaticha with the skabe doesn't have a daraisa root. But I think it boils down to the same thing. The more hush of something is, the harder it becomes to say it's ki'inu eino, as if it's not there.
Wait, so it's the rabbanon when we say davar shebe'minyan eino batel?
Correct.
And fine, so.
If
you're saying that this is more similar to
me.
Okay.
Basha? This measure seems to be assuming that the Kohen is not
Batel. No. Either Abba.
Why? Is man shemakiro, that's one thing, you remove it.
Ah, but you have to, you still need, it, look, bisman shemakiro, but no same time.
Right,
you have to be worried that the, one second, no. You have to worry, if Mimbimino, if the Mishnah Mimbimino weren't Batel, that would have been the answer to the Gemara's question. You have 60 Gidin, 61 Gidin, one of them is a Gidin Asha, Mimbimino is not Batel. Adarabba, the fact that the Gemara assumes that if you recognize the Gidin can remove it, that the rest of the Tarobis will be Mutta Benosein Tam, even if you don't have enough in the Rotef to be Mevatel the Gid, but you have enough with the other Gidin, so that assumes that Mimbimino is Batel. So that's exactly the Gemara's question, and the answer is because the Gidon Asha is a Beria, and Beria lo betela. Not because Mimimino lo betela, but Beria lo betela.
No, but
by Chaticha, and it's called a Chaticha, and that's also, it's not in Beria, Chaticha Ruya, the Skabed, is also not betela. It's Chaticha's dog.
And not Beria.
Well, Beria could have been applied, but the Mishnah already said Chatichas Nevela, because you normally, not that's impossible, you normally in your kitchen don't get, 61 cows mixed together that you're going to be confused. You're right, you could have had 61 fish, except that once they said Chen Chatichas Nevela, Chen Chatichas Dag Tame. You could have had Dag Tame also, Midin Beria. But even Chatichas Dag Tame you could have. Okay, but the whole point is it's not that Mimbimino is not Batel. If Mimbimino were not Batel, then theoretically, you might be able to. You might even say that even bisman shemakiro kulan asuros.
Could you say? But you might be able to say that even bisman shemakiro, assuming that you can remove it, the original piece of heter, that whatever was
original piece of iser.
Sorry, the original piece of iser. The tam that was given is no longer a mimbimino.
No, but that. Why not?
Because because the nature of the because the tam is exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So now Shmuel comes along and has a comment on the Mishnah. Continue, Chaim. So Shmuel says Lo Shanu means. I know you. I just want this translated once for the year, just so people realize it's a technical term. Most of the time it's obvious, but sometimes you need to realize it will be a helpful signpost. So I know it's obvious, but say it anyway. Lo Shanu means. No. It's more than that. The Mishnah was not taught except with respect to. I know that you understood in this context. It's important. It's a technical term, and sometimes it's helpful being aware of that because sometimes there is confusion. So you're going to get an Amora saying, Lo Shanu, not Amora, sometimes it's anonymous. The Mishnah applies in the Elashin Isbashel Ba'avol. So that's only if that you cooked it. What does cooking mean? It means it means that there's going to be liquid because if you cook, and it means you cook it in a pot typically, and you cook it in a pot because when you don't cook it in a pot, when you cook it over open fire without a pot, what happens? The liquid drips away and it doesn't stew in it. It doesn't sit in it. So Shmuel says that the din of the Mishnah that a yerush and a spashu begin that if you don't that if it's been Benos Saint Thomas Asura is only if that. So the truth be told. It's not, if it's Menos Saint Tom, it's Asur. The question is, how much do you assume is Asur? So the Mishnah said that if you measure the amount and you see that there's an X percentage of Gid in terms of the total volume, and that makes it Asur, so that, and obviously you don't taste it, so then the Mishnah, so Shmuel says that din is only true that you choshesh the entire thing, that the tam spreads in the entire thing if it was cooked. If it was roasted where the liquid would just drip down, then the assumption is the tam of the gid would not spread as far. And then you have to say the following, that it's mutter to taste the rest of it. Whatever is not usur, you may taste. That if you find tam in it, I don't think Shmuel meant to say that it's mutter to eat. It just means that you can assume that when it comes to transfer of tam, because when you're choshesh for transfer of tam, you're not allowed to taste it, because it's assumed it's likely to be usur. But Shmuel says you're entitled to assume when you only roasted it, where any of the liquid would drip down, that each one cooks sort of on its own, and the git only and the flavor of the git only goes a little bit. Okay,
that's nitzel.
Yeah.
Okay. Nitzel.
That's what roast. Nisbashel tzli means over. It doesn't have to be, over an open fire. It has to be in a situation where the liquid doesn't accumulate. If you remember in Hilchos Brachos last year, in effect the same distinction is made, but we didn't distinguish between bishul and sli, we distinguished between Bishel and Afia, right? That was the closest analogy. The definition of Bishel was in a liquid. The definition of Afia was a little bit trickier. But the way we paskin on Afia, we paskin on Afia that a masa ilfas, which means if it's in a pan, which is heated up before or after you put it in, but there's no liquid there, that's called Afia. That's like tzli. There's completely different ramifications in Hilchos Brachos. But for our purposes, we assume the difference between Bishel and tzli is that Bishel sits in a liquid. Tzli is a place where the liquid does not accumulate. Hence the term, something where I guess there isn't very much liquid, tzli kedar, right? Roasted in a pot. Right? What, how does he get roasted in a pot? By definite answer is that if there's no liquid in it. Shlomo.
Does the liquid come from an external source? Put
shot
meat in a pot.
No, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, even if it's the juices of whatever is in there. Jason?
I guess I don't understand. Are you cooking the meat separate from the ghee?
No. The ghee is inside.
So yeah, that's what I figured. So why would it make a difference? It's gonna cook it from the inside.
So the assumption is that when you have rotev all around, if you put it in, even though one is enveloped within the other.
In this case, the rotev is the ghee, right? Yes.
I've done experiments at this, but what the point is that one of the things, look, the gid is very hard. One of the things that's going to help have time transfer between the gid and the meat is having the rotev, whatever rotev, all around it, from whatever help time move. In other words, it keeps the material moist. That means
that's
more
like
flavors being exuded as opposed to the material shrinking.
The meat is keeping to me, a bone is going to give the same flavor to the meat. Regardless of if it's in the chicken soup or if it's sitting alone.
Do you know that? Have you tried that? Because normally you don't do it. Unless you have to chill it. You cook it in. I can't tell you. And by the way, also remember with the bone, you're also doing with the marrow, not the bone itself.
Right.
So here you, but you have to find that out. That's an assumption we're going to work with. And I can't really tell you, I haven't done the experiments, I don't know, but that's the assumption they're working with, that the rotev is what causes Tom much more rapid and thorough transfer of Tom. And the assumption might sling, so what is the din kol if you ochal at shemagiel again? You can basically, you're eating a drumstick, you peel away until you get to the gidan asha. Tosus is going to talk about it, doesn't mean mamish at shemagiel again, you have to leave something around, that's something we'll discuss, that's a detail in Tosus, we'll leave it aside for now. Yes,
I don't really understand what Shmuel is adding. Know, he's just mentioning the case that's not nosing tam. We already know something's not nosing tam. It's
mutter. So I answered your question, I think, by stating that Shmuel and the Shmuel understands that there is no easy way. In other words, we don't taste it to determine that, but rather what we do is we're masharin kibasar belefes. If there is enough, the assumption in the Mishnah is that when you cook the gid in the yarech. So the tam of the gid will spread all around. The only question is there enough tam in that gid to be able to taste it in the erech? And if there isn't, then the Mishnah gives you a way to calculate because you can't taste it.
Right.
Shmuel, now the truth is, what would happen if you were mishar kabasa belefes and then it turned out you could still taste it? So I think it's never pasha that's also. But if you did have kabasa belefes, you wouldn't be entitled to take the risk. Okay? Right? Now, what Shmuel is telling you is that the risk that you can or can't take and have to be concerned about when you roast it is not the same as when you cook it. When you cook it, you have to assume that the tam spread all the way around, and therefore the only way you're allowed to taste it in the first place and assume that you can even start eating it is if there was enough basar in the yarech keneged the gid. Whereas Shmuel is saying that if you only roasted it, you didn't cook it together, then the assumption you're entitled to make is that you... there's a certain amount that you're going to scrape away around the gid, and everything else is going to be assumed to be mutter, because even if you didn't have enough to be mevatel the gid, the tam is not going to transfer beyond that when you roast it. Okay? So I do agree with you. If you were to taste it after following Shmuel's criteria, and all of a sudden, oh boy, I can taste, you know, gidan usha, you know, to the 10 pound. It's not likely to happen by gidan usha, but if I can really, oh boy, that's powerful gidan usha there and the rest of the meat, even though I only roasted it, I think Shmuel would say it's also. But in order to allow you in the first place to assume that you can eat it until you know better, so the assumption is that the tam by tzli doesn't spread beyond, you know, as we'll end up saying, a klipa.
So there's no point of measuring basar belefes if it's
You don't even have to. You can just assume, peel away around the thing, and then you don't have to worry about basar b'lefes. Yeah. In fact, you might not even be allowed to rely upon basar b'lefes, because you might assume that the only way you could be mevatel that little amount around the gid is if there were enough in that little amount to be shishim keneged the gid. That's not likely to happen. It's only likely to happen if you have this big, fat hindquarters. And then the gid anasha might be mevatel, you know, whatever that shear the mishnah is. Okay. Fine. Now, I'll throw you a bone here. No pun intended. Nerd. What do you do? What must you do in order to eat the yerech before you're going to cook it? You have to salt it. Now, if you're going to roast it, do you have to salt it? No. This is very important. Maybe I mentioned this. I don't think I mentioned it in Shir. You know, the chumra basar kafu, even if one holds of it, is only relevant when meat is being cooked in a pot. If it's being cooked over an open fire, it's not a what? Oh, basar kafu is a frozen meat that comes from Argentina. And there's a problem with malicha, because malicha is supposed to be done, there's a chumra, the gonor has to be done within 72 hours of the shechita, and there they try to stop the clock, you know, by freezing it, and there are many people who hold it's fine, but there are some who are machmir on it, so some won't eat that meat in Eretz Yisrael, but it's only shayach if you're cooking it. If you're roasting it over fire, it doesn't matter, because you don't need to do malicha in the first place over fire. So, in this case, so in the Mishnah, presumably, I'm puzzled by that. I assume most of you have heard, those of you learned in Eretz Yisrael, heard Basar Kafu and the Chumrah. I don't know what they tell the guys in yeshivas, and but you can still go to El Gaucho's. Maybe you can't afford it when you're a student going there, but certainly, you know, the meat is fine, even if it's Basar Kafu. I don't know if it is or not. But. Okay, so So presumably, what happened to this yerech before you stuck it in the pot, you salted it. But what's the din when you salt something? So we say maliach kiroteach, and the Gemara explains maliach kiroteach means kiroteach kitzli. So salting something is like roasting it, right? Not cooking it, but like roasting it. And the same blias that would take place by salting would take place by roasting. Okay. So I'm not going to. Tosus was going to ask a question. Once you have those pieces of information, Tosus di Bar Maskil Aval Nitzla is going to be a fun challenge. I'm going to torture you tomorrow with this, probably. Assuming we get there tomorrow, be prepared to explain Tosus. I may even send out a question or two just to help you guide you a little bit. Okay. Anyway, so now the Gemara continues. Go ahead. Okay, so Rav Huna said, so the truth is, it's a little bit of a strange question. It's not really a kasha, it's not an esve, because, so maybe Shmuel disagrees with Rav Huna. But Rav Huna paskind that a gedi, which was roasted, not cooked in a pot, and had chaylev in it. Along with its chaylev, not removed. Yeah. So asur lechol afilu meirash azna. You can't even eat from the earlobe. The earlobe is probably not the most edible thing in an animal. I assume it's like cartilage in a person. So how could then? So what do you mean that when you roast something, the tam doesn't travel all the way around and make the entire thing? So the answer may be a little obvious. So the Gemara says on the top of Tzadi Zayin on Aleph. Shani chaylev mefapea. Chaylev has this. What is the modern Hebrew word mean mefapea? To ooze?
Spread. Rashi says.
No, I don't want the modern. There must be a modern Hebrew usage, right? I mean, it says it's like. What's that? Is it? I mean, babua are bubbles, right? Babuin. So it means like it kind of. It means probably the same word. It bubbles all around. In other words, it spreads out. So shani chaylev mefapea, but gid anosha does not have the qualities of chaylev. Okay, there's obviously a lot in between gid and chaylev, but right now the Gemara seems to be working along the lines, seems to be assuming that chaylev is what's unusual. So now the Gemara asks another question. So, okay, so firstly, if you look throughout Shas, you'll see there are a number of questions. this is like a source embedded in the Gemara. There are these maisim of Rabbi Yochanan, and they're found in different sugyas. And he seems to be the one most frequent. I forget, I looked at this several weeks ago. You know, Uvda Hava, and there might even be one other one in Kiddush to the Moon. V'asur v'shaylu l'Rabbi Yochanan. There are not too many of these in Shas, but you have these little maisim that are preserved. So they came and they asked them the shayla of a Gedisha Tzalvacha about exactly Rahuna's case. And he said, Kolef v'ochel asher megia l'chalva, like Shmuel's Eitzah. So this is so the chaylev saying it's chaylev is different than Gedan Asher. It doesn't help you because you have a, what seems to be could be a machlokas between Rahuna and Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara answers. So there are going to be three answers actually. So the first answer is given anonymously by the Gemara, and that is that it was kachush. What was kachush? So no. So it means hamu kachush. It would seem that the gedi was lean. So Rabbeinu Tam. Now, what you're saying may be one of Rabbeinu Tam's two possibilities. It's not clear. It's either that there are two ways the Tosfos explains this. One is that the chel of a gedi kachush does not spread. What's the alternative possibility? It should be the more obvious one. A kachush doesn't have a whole lot of fat, right? You know, when a person gets very thin, so that's one of the things that goes. Jason?
How long did they let a cow age before? Meaning, if it was lean enough to not have any fat on it?
No, it didn't have to be no fat, enough to be mabatel b'shishim. I suspect, look, they are mefatim cows, that's clear. Right, in other words, there's a notion of pitum, of fattening an animal before shechita, so you get more meat. Right, you get juicier meat, too.
How bad it is how long it lives and how much work it does.
Well, the truth is they seem to have, if you learn the sugya and Bava Kama, and again, I don't want to make a broad conclusions based upon one statement, but you have Tura L'Ridya and Tura L'Nifsa. Ridya is plowing in Aramaic, you have work animals, and you had animals who were designated for Shechita. Right, so I assume that typically when they wanted to fatten an animal, when they wanted to shechit an animal, if they could, they would fatten it up first for a little bit. They weren't as efficient as we are, sticking them in pens and feeding them all this corn, but there was a notion of being mefaten the cow before shechting it. Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara has the two other answers that are offered. One of them is reasonable. One of them seems very odd. Go ahead.
Rabuna bar Yehuda Amar Kulya Bechelva Sharia. Kidney, Kishka,
and it had some fat in it. I think the fat inside the kidney may only be the Rabbanon, but apparently, what? Oh, I take it back. Yeah, the fat, there's a layer, there's a membrane in between. And the issue here is whether the kulya aser the chaylev. That chaylev, I think, may only be the Rabbanon, it sounds like from Tosos. I don't know hochas chaylev. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan permitted it because of the krum blocked. The membrane was not really, it was not extremely permeable by the chaylev, I guess, when it was roasted. And therefore, that's what Rabbi Yochanan permitted. But if you actually had regular fat, not the fat on the kidney, with the kidney, so then Rabbi Yochanan would have asked it as well. And finally, the third answer, which is the strangest one, Ravin bar Rav Ada Amar. Kilkas be'ilfas. What is probably kilbis? What is kilbis be'ilfas? Yeah, tray fish got thrown into a meat pot, and Rabbi Yochanan permitted it. Now, what strikes you as odd about this last approach? No, don't tell me Shlomo is a fish and meat. Forget that. Okay, put that aside. So others have different interpretations of exactly what it is. But what is odd about this last approach? This is an answer. No, I understand. But it's the same. Yes, finish the case. But in other words, he's saying, in other words, this is explaining why Rabbi Yochanan permitted. Mm-hmm.
How does that explain that?
Well, the problem is, it's a different story. That's the problem. You understand how Gdi Bechalbo and Kol Yehi Bechalbo could sort of get mixed up. In other words, somebody knew there was a shayin that Rabbi Yochanan was asked about chaylev roasted with something else, and he sort of got confused between the two. And you could see how there were two versions of the story. They sound almost like the same story. Here, kilbis be'ilvasav, of asu shaylu the Rabbi Yochanan. When you say kill, I don't think this is a separate maisa. I don't think this is a story. Maisa haya that there was a kilkish. No, this is the because remember the first the Gemara said hahu kachosh hava. Ravuna bar Yehuda says kuli bechel v'hava, and Rabin says kilkas ilfas hava. The three explanations as to what the story was from Rabbi Yochanan permitted. So I understand how the first two one could be confused with the other. The third case is like a completely different story. It's strange to get. I mean, if you asked me, you told me this story, I would have said, no, that's a different story you're talking about. And that can't answer the question.
But in the end, it says, give it to this non-Jew to taste it. So that's even that's completely different than what Rabbi Yochanan said.
Agree. No, I agree with you. I'm just pointing in other ways. This is a third answer to the problem.
Why do we have to say that?
Well, because that's how the Gemara presents it. Again, as I said to you, Ahu kachosh hava. No, kol yibachel bahave. Okay. Or. Kilbis beilfas havas.
Maybe it's hahu. It's like sometimes it says hahu, whatever ish or whatever. That was like one. There was some case.
It's not a new story. The format of presentation is three explanations for that story, apparently to avoid a stira with Rahuna. Yehuda. In other words, look, the fact that they're more likely to be trying to play with Rabbi Yochanan because Rabbi Yochanan's was a story. It also is coming from Eretz Yisrael, presumably. Rav Huna's statement they have probably already set and fixed. You might say it was kavua in their Gemara, to borrow the term that's found once in Shas, the Gemara in Erev, and this notion that they had all these memras, and when a memra was accepted, they would be kavua in the Gemara. It seems to be like a body of collected statements or something on memras. So it may very well, in the case of Rav Huna, they have a very clear statement from Rav Huna, the din is X. They have a story with Rav Yochanan, and the details may be a little fuzzy. So I'm just troubled by, you know, the third case is not the details are a little fuzzy, like someone got hit over the head and had amnesia, as opposed to the first two cases where the first two versions, how kachosh hava, koli bechel bahava, you could sort of see another, it's clearly the same story. So why the Gemara didn't think to give another answer, I assume Rav Huna was a fixed point. What you're suggesting... it's not impossible, but apparently they must have their tradition of Huna was it was Medina, it wasn't the Chumrah.
But it reflects the nature of how you do this not rolling. But what Gemara is really saying is that Huna is the standard. The Huna, it's true that really truly Caleb is not going to work, it's Mahathaya, and Rabbi Yochanan's just it's an exception.
Okay.
Well, that means Caleb.
I agree. You're 100% correct. But for whatever reason, they do assume that Rav Huna's din is a clear din. Perhaps it made sense to them as well. And therefore, you know, they're trying to figure out what Rabbi Yochanan was really thinking. I mean, where do you want to go with that? Okay, so yes, you're correct. But... I understand that, but as Rav Huna says, chaylev is a very powerful taste agent, and we would agree with that probably, right? You know, the difference between, you know, it may not be good for you, but when you have, you know, meat that's marbleized, it tastes very good. You know, it has the fat all over the place, you know, but not like concentrated where you can't chew it, and it makes the meat really, really delicious. Okay, the chaylev adds time. Okay,
it could be that the third.
Rav Huna didn't quote Rabbi Yochanan, and once you accept the story, there's no stira. If you accept that story, then Rabbi Yochanan did not paskin differently than Rav Huna did. They're a completely different topic. Abigail, your question.
In the third answer, the Gemara also gives a different response for Yochanan.
Correct. In other words, the first two answers assume he permitted it. In the first case, it was all three are different. The second answer was Visharya. And the third, okay, but that at least, Visharya, Tosis claims, means the same thing. Right? But the third case, he just said, go to Kfel Arma. So that just makes it more difficult. It's like, this is not a third version of the story. This is a different book. Moshe? It's like saying Lo Hayu Dvar Me'olam. Rabbi Yochanan never permitted such a thing.
No, because the case is absolutely nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. So that being said, I read this as sort of a. By the way, first of all, again, the story had nothing to do with Caleb, but it did have to do with Kfel Arma. It did have to do with this. And then Rabbi Yochanan used that to get into the notion.
So. There's a larger question, and I don't think so. I think one of the hardest things about this sugya is structure. So far, the structure is clear. But what's going to happen now is you're going to get Rava's response to that. Then you're going to return to the discussion that you had, you know, of Nitzlaba and so on, on the top of Tzadik Zainam and Beis. And then you're going to talk about Kishen Mishara, and then all of a sudden you come back to Rava's statement or the issue of, you know, Tom Kiker and Shishim. And it seems to bounce back and forth. Now, what I think is going on, actually, is that Rava's statement that we're about to read is really parenthetical. Now, that's really an editorial insertion into the sugya that interrupts the flow. Later, the Gemara is going to come naturally to deal with Rava, because then it's going to deal with Tom Kiker. Are there any other questions? Amar Rava. Go ahead. Yeah, you get to finish the Gemara, and then someone else gets the privilege of starting Tosas. Same din that they're compared. So Bishlama. So in other words, it's a funny thing. This was Ben's question, which is. What did Rava do until then? Right? In other words, he hasn't yet, unless you say that he always used the Klal of Shishim. But he was puzzled by the fact that the Braisa speaks about Benosei Tam. You could have asked this on any Mishnah. And that's what prompts, I mean, even to take your question, Ben, and to step further, what prompts Rava to ask the question Bedafka on this mission, on this Braisa? There are 100 Mishnais that say B'no Sein Tam. What? Yeah. So the answer might be is that they didn't want to do that because Gidan Asha had a special kula, because it was not so tasty. It didn't give so much flavor. So the Mishnah, only place the Mishnah gave a shear was in something that it's not so hard to be mevato, namely Gidan Asha. So it could be basar b'lefes, you know, maybe it takes a fair amount of basar in order to flavor the lefeses, whereas other Isurim might have a higher threshold. I don't know. So, you know, why? So Rashi actually does talk about, Rashi sort of preempts your question on the Mishnah. Rashi makes an astounding assertion. Since you asked it, go back and read the Rashi. The first Rashi in the Mishnah, kibasar b'lefes. Lefasos, right? Vagin. Okay. Then it would be Asur.
Right.
Now it's the next part that's striking. The Shiurin. Yeah, in other words, this is Halacha Moshe Mishina. Firstly, where did Rashi get this idea, Shiur Halacha Moshe Mishina? What's that? No.
The Gemara's.
How did Rashi know to say Shiur Halacha Moshe Mishina doesn't say that, Abigail? So there is a Gemara. There's a Gemara in a few places. It's the same Gemara in Sukkah and in Erevin that says Shiurin Chatzitzin Mechitzin Halacha Moshe Mishina. The only thing is. Then when I talk about,
doesn't give us shiur b'sur.
No, it's like also.
Well, they talk about the shiurim of Eretz Chito Sarah and Geffen and Saint Avrimon and learn it for. This is not one of the things that's mentioned there. This is a big. I haven't seen any other Rishon who says anything like this. The claim that the shiur alachon from Sinai, And it's a strange kind of halacha that Moshe Mitzrayim to have, when it's just clarifying Mitzias. Right? In other words, all it's saying, if the principle really is Beno Sein Tam, if the principle really is Beno Sein Tam, and Jonathan, this might be the one Sama, this would have been a better thing to jump on for that particular thought. If the Shiur of Beno Sein Tam, what do you know Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim to tell you? We generally like to believe that the Torah is not a science book, and neither Torah Shebichsav nor Torah Shebal Peh, and nothing will be told to us for the purposes of informing us of a scientific fact. That's not what the function of Torah is. So why would you have Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim just to tell you that this amount is no such time, it's not? Firstly, that could change over time. Maybe your cows, they get on our shevalves, and it's more flavorful, it's less flavorful. Maybe the lefassos at the time of Matan Torah were more intense, were less intense. It's a strange kind of thing to do, to assume that the shear is Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. If you told me the concept of no saint time is Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, that I'd understand. I don't know, I'm not sure quite what to do with this comment of Rashi. But for whatever reason, Rava does not seem to think that that you can be Meshayer B'Lefes. Now, of course, Jeremy, going back to your question earlier, when I saw a comment like this, it does make me start to think, is a line that Ketzad Mesharon or so, Kibasar B'Lefes, is that late, you know, later than even Amorim, and Rava didn't have it in his Mishnah, and that's why he says this way. The answer to the question is no. The reason the answer to the question is no is because later in the Gemara, the term I don't even know what that line in the Gemara means. Hold on. You have a Pisca in the Gemara of Ketzad Misharin. Ketzad Misharinan, and the Piskos are the oldest part of the Mishnah, the oldest fragments that we have. And the fact that Rav Huna is responding, this is really weird, one second. Yes. So Rav Huna is modifying the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? Kibasar b'lefes. And what does Rav Huna say? Kibasar b'roshe l'fasos. But he's telling you which part you're supposed to use. So it's hard to believe that Rava didn't have it in his Mishnah. Not in concealed, but higher than likely. Rav Huna is responding to it in his Mishnah. Rav Huna predates Rava by a couple of generations. So I don't know why Rava wasn't content, except for that perhaps he assumed that Basar, Belefes worked by Gid Anasha, but it wasn't necessarily a good criteria for other things. Other things are more intense, and they would give more flavor, and you can't rely upon Basar B'Lefes. Chaim.
I guess, way of reading Rava's question is very about the question. Rava was asking, if you're going up to a guy and asking to taste, is there pig in this? There's no way of possibly achieving a Siyach Kikumo. The answer to the question is, it doesn't work for Zolder Shonen. You're allowed to ask.
So Ben, that's what I said to you, right? Okay. So this came out of his question and dialogue back and forth. Fine. So the possibility might be is that Rava. What's that?
I was thinking that.
Okay. So I just want to make sure I understand what's being said. So it could be that Rava understood that Rava's concern was the chiddush to Rava. Was that you could ask a guy, why did Rava not ordinarily ask a guy? And this still doesn't address your question or what did he do, but why was he not able to ask a guy? Because he assumed you couldn't believe the guy unless he's Mesiach Lefi Tumo. And how exactly is it that you're going to ask a guy, you ask him, does this taste like pork? You go up to the guy, how do you get an answer to Mesiach Lefi Tumo?
What do you think of this?
Yeah, well, but
describe
you...
Describe it.
Maybe. Maybe. You know, Goyim who hang around Jews, this client told me a fascinating story, tend to pick up quickly on our quirks. So what was the story, Chaim?
We keep an ultra-orthodox kitchen.
Who, Professor?
Goswami.
Yeah, so what did he say? So you said that in, we're talking about contaminating samples if you get some stuff mixed in. So Chaim told him that, we have a concept in Judaism, it's Bato B'Shishim. So he said, there's no bit of a shishim here. Well, what did he say?
It's an ultra-orthodox kitchen. We don't rely on these leniencies.
Okay, there you go. He said, Chaim, this is an ultra orthodox kitchen. We don't rely upon these leniencies, right? So they pick up, the goyim who are around us pick up very quickly. You know, sometimes the non-Jewish help knows the halacha much better than a lot of Jews, right? You know, the way it is. So anyway, so it could be that Rava never figured out how are you ordinarily going to get a Mesiach Levitumo. Rabbi Yochanan was Machadesh, and this only works for some Rishonim, that no, Kfeila Arama, you don't need a Mesiach Levitumo because you have an Uman here, and he's not gonna lie, because otherwise he's going to endanger his professional reputation. So now Rava says, Amar Rava, may Reish have a Kakashali. So Hashdu that Rabbi Yochanan said, Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Kfeila Kfeila Arama. Okay. So,
wait, Rashi doesn't say that that's
going to
be
No. I didn't say Rashi. That's the Rashba's view. It doesn't work for Rishonim. I admit. But that at least could sort of explain, you know, what was it that... I mean, you still have to explain, but what is it, according to Rashi, what does that occur to Rava all of a sudden? Was Rava Mesupak whether you could even rely upon a Goy Mesich HaFituma and the fact Rabbi Yochanan did... Therefore, we assume there must be a guy you can rely on. I don't know.
But hold on. How do we deal with the fact that, like, he's arguing on the Mishnah?
Who's arguing?
Rava.
No, he's not.
Why not?
The Mishnah just said B'nai St. Tom. It didn't tell you how you figure that out. Fela Ramah, the Mishnah gives you one way of doing Kibasa B'lefes. You can simply say that's a case where you don't have, you know, your handy-dandy, you know, Shabbos guy available. You can go ask him, you know,
what
it tastes
like.
What
tells you what to do when you don't have someone available? You know, it's like...
The Mishnah?
Rava, it's like, you do the Lashish.
Hold on, I understand that, but Bito Vashishim is only when there's no way. This is not talking about Gidan Asha. Rava would presumably know that at the Gidan Asha you could use Vasar Balakas. It's probably less than Shishim. Rava's giving you a general rule by Yisurim. Let's just wait. We'll get to it. So now what happens? Amar Rava, you get to finish this up. Amar Rava. Okay, I'm sorry, I want the next line of it. Okay, Amar Rava. Just in case you're wondering, that Amor form is simply a metathesis of the Vav and the Reish. It happens frequently. Called the Tikkun Rabbanon Kein Daraisa Tikkun. What kind of form is Tikkun? It's Tiknu. This is standard in Babli Aramaic. So Amru Rabbanon, they said B'taima, they said B'kfela, they said B'shishim. Okay, so therefore, so Rava now wants to sort this out. Now, firstly, one question you have to ask here. Amur Rabbanan. So what question should you ask?
Which Rabbanan?
Is that already
in no? No. Where? Every time the Torah says, Kasher Diber Hashem HaMoshe, you know Rashi's going to ask the question, it's usually the Medrash, V'heichan Diber. So when you say Amur Rabbanan, I ask this question not just as by way of analogy, but what is the origin of each of these statements? Abigail? Pshat, you don't have to ask it because the tzivoy and the asiyah are not always repeated. Sometimes this is just the way of saying, okay, here's God's commandment. I on a pshat level. Absolutely, absolutely. But I want to know what is the earliest origin any of these statements can be traced with. So Amar Rabbanan B'taima, where's that? Everywhere. Rashi says B'kama Makomos. I mean, I don't think it's Rashi L'shitasa M'chumash. Here, I think. I mean. Ask the question again. Amar Rabbanan B'taima B'kama Makoma Shishanina B'no Sein Tam. Fine. The Amar Rabbanan B'kfeila, that's Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rabbanan B'shishim. This is the one that interested me the most, because since the Mishnah never mentioned Shishim, I wanted to know when does Shishim first come up. So I know that Shishim comes up no later than, for sure, Rava. Rava says it right here. So obviously, with someone who preceded Rava, we don't know how long before Rava, we don't know who it was. Amar Rabbanan B'shishim. So then the next question is, you know, is there a Mishnah, a Braisa, a statement of Rav, a statement of Rav Yochanan, a statement of Shmuel, something very early B'shishim. So what does Rashi come up with? The Berek Basa, the Mesechas of Odezara, Paskina, and Hilchas of Acholi, Surin Shebetorah, Bein Basa B'chala, V'Bein Shari Surin B'shishim. You know who says that there? No. There are some late Amoraim, I believe, discussing it there. Take a look. You have the Avodah Zarah in there? Correct.
It's a later source.
In other words, Abigail, do you have Avodah Zarah there? It's the way top. It's the way top of Samach Tes Samad Aleph. You can read it. Just. there was debate about handlings, I forget which certain things. Who is that? Okay, he wanted by vinegar. He wanted my vinegar to use 50. Who's Rabbi Chai? According to Rashbam, it's Rabbi Chai going, but that's probably wrong. Tosfos in Ksubas Daf Beis and the Beis makes that claim. Whenever it says Pashit Rabbi Chai, why does it use the funny Lashonos? Because it's Rabbi Chai going. Okay, not likely. He's a very late Amora. Who's next? Lamb, you come on. You got to polish up on your stuff here. Someone should remind me to. What's that? You're saying that definitively. Okay, good. If someone reminds me, I have, with permission, Rav Yoel Ben Nun put out when he was at, if he's still at it, Ein Surim, there's a pamphlet with all the Amoraim and their generations, Tanaim also. So I'll post it on Angel. If anybody, I think I've got everybody on Angel, or just about. If you're not enrolled in Angel for Shir, and I did it for the Smicha guys also. You're still missing Ari, I think. Right, you got us. Okay, but if you're not, just email me, I'll add you. And I'll post it there so you can download. It's a PDF. So anyway, see, they're very late on Moriah. We're talking about these numbers, okay? And then the conclusion is... I'm sorry, Jonathan? So it's a Behilchasa. And then when you go on our Gemara, the discussion's also when they're talking about numbers. So, Sever Ravashi, on Tzadi Chesam and Aleph, the Mar Ravashi wanted to use Shloshim, by Chatzi Shir, and his father told him not to do that. So basically, up until now, all we have is very, 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 very late, Rava and post. Now, that's really not true. I'm misleading you all along. It's interesting that Rashi chooses to go there, but there certainly is, so, no Braisa, no Tosefta, nothing that mentions Shishim. Okay? Rava is the first one to articulate it. If I were writing Rashi, and fortunately Rashi wrote it, Rashi wrote Rashi, not me, because he obviously did a much better job than I could ever have done. So there is a Gemara in Sadi Chesam et Aleph and a Yerushalmi with the same tradition in the mouth of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. There seem to be two versions of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, I think it is. Or is it, how does it go? There's one in the name of Bar Kapara, and I think one in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. We'll see it when they talk about Shishim or Mea. Okay? So that's, so. When is it, that is more likely to be Rava's reference than things that postdate Rava. Okay, be that as it may, Shishim is a chiddush.
I'm just curious, going back to the bus of religious.
Yeah.
Does the Mishnahs often give shirim without actually giving numbers? Like in the Mishnahs, when you look in Trimos, the Bozar said, you know, it's 1 and 200, 1 and 100. Is there any possibility that this could be Shishim, but they
just
figured out later, or something like that?
No, it's not a question of is it against the Mishnah, is it different than the Mishnah? It's a different way of approaching it. The Mayan Messiah and the Mishnah is not relevant here because those are Min Mimino. Those are not no Saint Tom. And as the only time the Mishnah ever gives numbers is when it's not no Saint Tom, when it's Min Mimino. Whereas every time it's a flavor issue, the Mishnah always says it's no Saint Tom, and it never gives a number. And this is the only place. This and maybe that Mishnah in Zvachim, not exactly, where the Mishnah attempts to give you a method, but interesting enough, the Mishnah doesn't give you a number. Now, you could argue it doesn't give you a number because Gidan Oshe is less than Shishim, actually, because it has almost no flavor. But either way, you know, it's an interesting question, and I don't have the answer to the question, why is it the Mishnah is content to leave it as Tam, and yet at some point the Amoraim feel the need to quantify it specifically. Now, I do understand why, it makes sense why, because on a practical level, you know, in the extreme for Ashkenazim, who don't rely upon a kfela, because the Ramah quotes the Augur, the Minhag is not to use a non-Jew to taste, so the only thing you can use, how else are you going to be Mishire whether it's no Saint Tom? So the answer is, you're going to pick a number and say that, as the Gemara is going to say further down on this Amud, that the Chacham will Mishire and almost nothing is no Saint Tom. You know, the only Surah of the Torah, so they found that nothing is no Saint Tom more than Shishim, or at least ordinarily.
Just thinking, rupture reconstruction, going from a mimetic, approach to a more scientific one.
No, it's a nice idea. It's cute for Purim Torah, but it's not true. It didn't happen. So, it didn't happen until the 20th century.
I know. I'm just saying.
You're more likely to go from, a case law approach to a conceptual approach. I don't think you can introduce that yet.
I think that maybe because with Truma, with Kalyakara, with Orla, with all of these things, we're talking about it's a halachic distinction. It's not a physical distinction. You can't. Truma doesn't have any special taste to it. Bechet, it has a spiritual significance. So that there we would need a shir bittel for a different reason. Where here, if there is some sort. Even if it's mean bamino,
so the truth is, what you're saying is very sharp. I like the distinction. The only problem, the reason why it's going to be difficult, is what he's saying is that pretty much all the Isurim dealt with in the Mishnah are not about a particular object that's Aser, but some, in other words, the object can exist in Mutter form and Aser form. And the difference between them is whether an Isur is Revi Aleya. Right? In other words, Truma, the same food that's Truma could also be Chulin. And that's true for Orla, Kalyakara, maybe not.
Fine.
Kalyakara, maybe not. But then what about Basim? So you're saying here, the reason why the Mishnah gives a shear, for whatever reason, is because the first time we're dealing with something that is objectively, Yid Hanasha is Aser. The only problem is, why doesn't it give a shear by Basim Chalav? That's also...
No, it doesn't give a real shear. It gives a... It's the beginning formulation of a shear Mesoyim, but it doesn't yet give... It doesn't yet...
No, I know it's
more practical,
okay.
It's not definite.
I understand that, but I still want to know, why is it that the first time the Mishnah thought they asked the question by No St. Thomas is Ketz and Mishanah? So it's an interesting suggestion you're making. I'm not sure why that should matter, but it is a distinction, but there are a few Mishnahs that fall through the gaps. What's that? No, you can't suggest, I have this, but we don't even know why it should make a difference, and then suggest, I like that reason for Gid Anusha, so I'll cross everything else out of the Mishnah. That doesn't fly. Abigail?
Isn't that supposed, in some ways, that's the distinction between Min Mizino and Min Mishino Mino? Let's say Truma, you can have your Truma wheat and your non Truma wheat. That's Min Mizino. As opposed to here, we're assuming, are we assuming Min Mizino or Min Mishino Mino?
Well, no, because remember, it's not Min, it's Tom. Right? There are a lot of cases we're going to fall into that thing. And Tom, you could have. Maybe you have another part. You know, the Gid Anusha has other things that taste like Yid. No. Really, in our discussion of St. Tom, it's all about Tom. All about Tom.
I understand that, but still.
When we talk about Beno St. Tom, I don't want to hear words about Min Mimino, Min Mishino Mino. You got to sort that out. That was exactly the problem yesterday with the Rama and the Shach. Okay.
Could you clarify that a little bit more?
No, because we don't have to deal with that right now. That was, if you were doing it every day, that was relevant. And so I'm putting what he said aside for the moment, and, okay? I'm not unwilling in principle to clarify, but it's not our topic right now, so I don't want to go off on that road. Okay. Now, let's at least to start. So, well read. Thanks, Chaim. So, let's... Rabba had these three... Oh, so, I'm sorry, the one last little part. So, he explains, when do each of these apply, and then you're done. Hilka, min... So, like Truma. Okay, and can you get any other examples of this as well? Min b'mino de teira, min b'shein amino de teira.
Besides Truman Bullen?
Yeah. It's actually hard to literally get a case, but Lamaisa, it's not really min b'shein amino of heter, but rather, I guess you could say, if you had, yeah. Yes, somebody says that. Did you see it? You just figured that out. Good. Someone makes this point somewhere. Another case simply could be, it's not really a taroves. Well, it is sort of. If you cook something in a fleshik pot, a benyomo pot, or with some, if you want some fleshik fell into something parv, and you want to now eat it with milk, so you could theoretically, you should have to taste it first. If you don't taste any of the basar in it, so then. What's that?
Regardless.
No, not waiting. Eating it with. You know, a little bit of meat flavoring somehow got mixed into my rice. And I want to know whether I can taste it or not, so that if I can't, I can then eat this with milk.
You yourself can taste it.
Yeah, because it's heter. In other words, basar v'chalav you can't taste. But basar or chalav you can taste, and it could be mixed in, but this doesn't technically fit here, because it's not min b'shein omino where it's iser. It's all heter, it's vaday mutter to eat the rice. It's only shaylas whether or not it's fleshik or not.
Is that really the halachic determinant in something like that? You just taste whether or not you taste it or
so
not?
So I think when I've quoted this before, I never heard of anybody doing this, but if you read the Shach, I think it's pretty clear that it's mutter. He might even come close to explicitly giving this case. I mean, you know, this type of a thing. In other words, if you can taste, you're allowed to taste whether or not the coin can taste where the truma fell in, and you can taste some of the nedarim, why can't you taste whether it's fleishik? If there's tam basar in it, then it has the status of basar. You can't eat it with milk. If it has no tam basar in it, I don't see why it should be any different. Alec?
Why, even if it doesn't have a tam, but like you have the parv and the parv and a little basar fell in, then, but it's still a davar sheyesh lematirah. Just like we had the Ramah that you should have to force the Chalif to come out.
No. You can't say Davar Sheyesh Lo Matir in here. Davar Sheyesh Lo Matir means I have something that right now is going to be, if it's not Batel, it will Aser it. If it is Batel, it won't Aser it. And I want to be Mavashma. And we say, no, wait until the Hips becomes Heter. Right. Here, it's Mutter to eat.
But the Ramah's example of the Chalif, that you have to make the Chalif come out, even though it's already Batel.
No, but here... That's because you're going to be consuming. That's not a davar sheyesh lo matir in any way. It's a little different. It has a relationship, but that's when something's batel. Number one. Number two, here, the rice is absolute heter gomer to consume. You can't talk about davar sheyesh lo matir here. The only shaila is, does it have tam basar in it? Does it not have tam basar? If it has no tam basar in it, it's parv. You can eat it with milk. It's not shaykh to davar sheyesh lo matir.
I thought if you had a bunch of parv cookies and a milk cookie and you don't know which one's which, you cannot serve it after a meat meal because there's a davar sheyesh lo matir for that tarovas.
No. Yes, but the point is that the people who want to eat it, you're talking
that,
different.
That's right. Right now, if they were to eat it, it would be iser potentially, besafik iser. But if they wait 3 hours, 6 hours, then they would be eating a beheter gomer.
No, it's we'll talk about this at some point outside this year. I don't think they're at all comparable. We'll talk about it. So we'll discuss why. Okay. So finish this up. So then inami. So min mimino. Okay. So if I did min mimino, when you let go make on time, it's impossible to taste. Why? Because it doesn't flavor. And so then that or. Okay, and the pastor says if there's a kfela, you're not allowed to rely upon shishim, you have to ask the kfela. And that's the way the Beis Yosef understands the Rambam, and that's the way the Shach understands the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch, how he's paskening. The Gra may differ with that understanding. The bottom line is pashtus and the Gemara is like that. Now, did we ever see any Mishnah that ever introduced the idea of nosein tam by min mimino?
Right here, this Mishnah.
Right. This is the only place. Well, the Mishnah.
This is the Reish of the Mishnah. There's much like Kiro,
no Saint Tom. Right. So it's a Chiddush. How can you talk about Beno Saint Tom? This is the only. Might be the only place. So the answer is, we call. Rashi explains on the Mishnah that we call No Saint Tom by Mimino. When you use the term, it means Shisha. Okay, Jeremy.
We added not necessarily No Saint Tom, but two wines that are mixed, or two bloods that are mixed.
Right.
In that case, also, like we consider that we do a similar thing, like we do by Basar Lefes.
By Roman, yeah, no, I understand that. That's why I mentioned earlier, I alluded to earlier, that the only other place we're given a method for being Mashiach might be the Bishlan Zvachim. Ron or Soki Iluhu. Right. 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 Even though it already is. Okay. But what it means when we start to use the term no saint tam by min bimino, it means shishim. In other words, it means if it were min b'shein amino, would it be no saint tam? Manuel?
I understood like that Rashi said that it's b'shishim. Like I understood that was the way that he was reading the Gemara. When Rava says Amar Rabbana in the time of Amar Rabbana in the Bela of Amar Rabbana b'shishim, I understood that he understood what Rava was doing. Was saying that whenever it says the no same time, sometimes it means this, and sometimes it means that, and sometimes it means the third thing. That's what when Rabbanim said it. Sometimes they mean really.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's why Rashi there this time of become lekolos shikaninu the no same time. And some of them where we said the no same time we mean this, and then in the other ones we mean that. And
I'm not sure that Rashi is making that kind of distinction you're making. I mean, I just don't think he's going. He's not contradicting what you're saying, but I don't think he's going. I don't think that's his point. He's just trying to identify where. So, in the case of B'taima, there are lots of places. And in the case of Kfela, all you have is Rabbi Yochanan and so on. I don't know that you have to make that point, but I agree with you anyway. In other words, these are all examples of I mean, Rabbi Yochanan never said there'll be no same time. He said, you know, litame kvela ramah. The bottom line is the Gemara is when you have situations where you can't, nobody can taste it, either because they can't, nobody can, or because nobody's available who's allowed to taste it. So then you use shishim. Okay, fine. What's that? We're not, you know, it's not, I don't, here's the deal. It's not going to get extensive discussion among the Achronim, because most of the Achronim are Ashkenazi Achronim, who are going to follow the lead of Ramah, but we don't use a Kvela. I mean, it might come up, but it is a general question. In other words, how much of a Tirchah, how much of a Hefsed, and so on. I suspect on some level, when no shear is given, it's probably to some degree subjective in the eyes of the Posek. You know, and I suspect you're going to get different answers. Now, how much do you have to be Matriach? All right, so tomorrow is Wednesday, so we will, God willing, try to do the Tosfos. Okay, and after that, move on to the other Tosfos.